and that that's where that's going. But we're going to go to the word of the Lord now. We were, last week, Brother Johnson preached, and the week before that, we were in Ezekiel chapter 8. And if you'll remember, I called it Ezekiel's second vision. We covered Ezekiel's first vision in chapter 1, and in chapter 8, he has his second vision. And we covered the first five verses. If you will remember, Ezekiel was sitting in his house, and the elders were gathered around him, watching him, because they thought that he was a prophet, and they thought that they might hear something from the Lord. And it says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Ezekiel, and he had a vision. And in his vision, he said it was like an angel from heaven, if you'll remember the text, grabbed him by the hair of the head, or I think the King James says the lock of the head, and transported him to Jerusalem. He, not physically, his body was still right there in his house in Babylon. Okay, he was living in Babylon, and he was still sitting right there, but in the spirit, the Lord took him to Jerusalem. And if you'll remember, in Jerusalem, he went in the temple, and there was it was called an image of, does anybody remember what it was called? An image of jealousy. And it was an idol. And we talked about that it was an idol for the goddess Asherah. And we talked all about that and the history of Asherah and how that King Manasseh had brought that statue into the temple. And then later he had repented and got rid of it. And then when Josiah became king, somebody had put it back and he had to take it out and burn it with fire. And then now it looks like somebody else had carved another one and it was back in there. Do you remember us talking about all of that? Well, that was the first part of Ezekiel's vision. That's the first thing he saw when he came into the temple in his vision. That's the first thing he saw. Now we are going to continue on in that same vision. If you would all stand, we're going to read from verse 16 through verse 18. And hear the word of the Lord as we read it. Ezekiel chapter 8 and starting with verse number 6. And sorry about that. I just had a bit of a dry spot. And he said to me, "Son of man, do you see what they are doing? The great abominations that the house of Israel are committing here to drive me far from my sanctuary." I want you to notice that last wording there, because later on the elders are saying, the Lord has forsaken us. The Lord has forsaken us and has gone away. God is telling Ezekiel, no, I haven't forsaken them. They're driving me out with the way that they're living. But you will still see greater abominations. Verse 7, and he brought me to the entrance of the court, and when I looked, behold, there was a hole in the wall. This is one of my favorite chapters in Ezekiel. Just because it's fun to just piece this together. It says, there was a hole in the wall. Then he said to me, "Son of man, dig in the wall." So I dug in the wall, and behold, there was an entrance. If you will, it's almost as though in Ezekiel's vision, as though there was a secret passageway or a secret entrance to the temple. Said, "So, son of man, dig in the wall." So I dug in the wall, and behold, there was an entrance. And he said to me, "Go in and see the vile abominations they are committing here." So I went in and saw, and there engraved on the wall all around was every form of creeping things and loathsome beasts and all the idols of the house of Israel. This is in the temple, folks. And before them stood 70 men of the elders. Remember that word elder. We're going to talk about that. Of the house of Israel, with Jazaniah, the son of Shaphan. We're going to talk about Shaphan. It's going to be rather, at least it was very eye-opening to me. It says, with Jazaniah, the son of Shaphan, standing among them, the 70 elders. Each had his censer in his hand, and the smoke of the cloud of incense went up. So they are giving, offering incense, if you can get that mental image. Then he said unto me, Son of man, have you seen what the elders of the house of Israel are doing in the dark? We're going to talk about that there, the dark. Each in his room of pictures. For they say the Lord does not see us. The Lord has forsaken the land. And remember, up in the first part of this reading, God said, no, I haven't forsaken the land. They're driving me out. They're driving me out. Verse 13, he said also to me, you will see still greater abominations that they commit. Then he brought me to the entrance of the north gate of the house of the Lord, and behold, there sat women weeping for, some pronounce this Timaeus, others pronounce it Tammuz. I prefer to say Timaeus, but actually the correct pronunciation is Tammuz. And I will explain Tammuz. If you want to call it an Assyrian god or a Babylonian god, it was worshipped under different names by different religions. And I'm not going to get a whole lot into Tammuz or Timaeus, just say that he was a pagan god. Then he said to me, have you seen this, O son of man? You will still see greater abomination than these. In other words, it's even going to get worse. And he brought me into the inner court of the house of the Lord, and behold, at the entrance of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, and please remember that there, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men. And when you start analyzing the wording here, it starts becoming apparent what's going on. It says there was 25 men with their backs to the temple of the Lord, and their faces toward the east, worshiping the sun toward the east. Then he said to me, have you seen this, O son of man? Is it too light a thing for the house of Judah to commit the abominations that they commit here, that they should fill the land with violence and provoke me still further to anger? Behold, they put the branch to their nose. I'm not going to get into that, but that's a euphemistic saying. It's just a kind of a slang way of saying it's an ancient one, and we don't really know what it meant back then. There's different ideas, but it's really just a lot of people guessing. Therefore, I will act in my wrath. My eye will not spare, nor will I have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, I will not hear them. And I know this sounds gloomy, and I'm not in a gloomy mood today, okay? And we're going to talk about this passage. We're just going through the book of Ezekiel, and this was the next place. So we're not finished with his second vision yet. There's going to be a part three in chapter 9, but this is Ezekiel's second vision, part 2. And let's go to the Lord. God, in Jesus' name, we worship you, and we're thankful for your word, and we know that it's by and only by your word that we have light to walk by, Lord, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, God, and that without your word, we would be stumbling in the dark. So God, open our minds, open our understanding to your word, God, that we can understand your word. And everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated today. In verse 6, the first verse of this text, He says, son of man, do you see what they are doing? The great abominations that the house of Israel are committing to drive me far from my sanctuary. And like I said, when I was reading it down in verse 12, they're saying that the Lord had forsaken them and that he had abandoned them. They are saying that in verse 12, but really, here in verse 6, he says, listen, they are driving me out of this temple. The things that they are doing is making me go away. It's not like I want to forsake my people. It's not that I brought them out of Egypt. I opened the Red Sea for these people. I opened the River Jordan where they could cross over into the Promised Land. I opened up the Promised Land and drove out all of the peoples for their sake. And it's not like I want to forsake them. They are driving me away. And then in verse 7 and verse 8, it says, he brought me to the entrance of the court, and when I looked, behold, there was a hole in the wall. And he said unto me, son of man, dig in the wall. So I dug in the wall, and there was an entrance. So it's as though this is, sounds like a nice mystery story that you would read. You know, he is right there by the front entrance. And if you read close, it looks as though he has walked through the gate of the front entrance and now turns around and goes back and sees a small hole and begins to dig. And here's the big main entrance, but here's a hidden entrance to where hidden things that would be going on, hidden things that would be going on would be happening. And then he goes to verse number 9 and verse number 10. He said unto me, go in through that private secret entrance. Go in there and see what the vile abominations that they are committing are. And he says, so I went in and saw, and engraved on the wall all around was every form of creeping things and loathsome beasts and all the idols of the house of Israel. This was, in Ezekiel's vision, this was in the temple, folks. This was the place that was supposed to be dedicated unto the Lord. And he sees all of these creeping things, images carved on the wall. And you say, Brother Wiggins, I don't really understand, you know, what's wrong with carving some, you know, some kind of tapestry on your wall. A lot of us do that. Well, it's more than that. And when we were covering on Wednesday night, when we were covering Romans chapter 1, I never made the connection with this verse. But this verse fits in so good with Romans 1 to where if you'll look at verse 21, 22, and 23 of Romans chapter 1, it goes like this. For it says, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God, and neither were they thankful. I mean, we all know that passage that says that when they knew him not as God, they glorified him. When they knew him as God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were they thankful, but they became vain in their imaginations. Or as this translation says, they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. You can see how Romans 1 is not talking about heathen Gentiles. This was talking about Israel. Romans 1 is not talking about heathen Gentiles that were pagans. This was talking about, remember, I don't know if you remember that Wednesday night, we had that discussion about was this Israel or was this Gentiles? And if you look in light of this passage, it just opens it up. It says that when they knew his God, they didn't honor him as God, and their foolish hearts were darkened and claimed to be wise, they became fools. And then look at verse 23. And exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, birds, animals, and what? See how that fits in so good with the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel's second vision here, God gives him a vision of the inside of the temple, and it's like there's a secret entrance, and he goes in there, and carved on the wall are all of these birds and animals and reptiles on the walls. And I cannot help but think that the Apostle Paul had to be referring to Ezekiel chapter 8, and which makes me mad, because I spent a lot of good money on commentaries for Romans, and not one of them said it. Not one of them referred to Ezekiel chapter 8. Not one. And I have to accidentally stumble across it myself. I want to just tell these people in these commentaries, this is what I pay you guys to do. Anyway, I digress. But it did make me mad. Anyway, what was going on here? I'll tell you what was going on here. And it actually kind of applies to us to this day. Rather than worshiping the Creator, they were worshiping the what? The creature or the creation. They were worshiping the creation or the creature more instead of worshiping the Creator that created them. And you know, I just want to just say, and I know that we use words just very loosely here in America, but you've heard of a rock idol, some music star. That's a country music idol. That singer is a country music idol. And you know, I don't want to disappoint you, I'm not really a country fan. I don't really even listen to music. I like listening to documentaries. Sad. I lead a sad life. But you know, in America, I can remember, we've all seen those old videos of when the Beatles very first came to the U.S., how teenage girls would just stand there and bawl and cry and scream and faint. And I saw please don't judge me for this, but I saw a clip about a 10-second clip, and it was on a religious Facebook page. So there, take that. But everybody's heard of this singer Beyonce. I'm so horrible and bad. I don't know one of her songs. Don't ask me to name one of her songs. I don't know even one of her songs. I'm ill-informed. All I know is the name Beyonce. But this clip showed her in a concert, and this guy is got his hands up like this as she's walking down this narrow part of the stage, and there's people on each side, and he's got his hands up like he would love to touch her. And this is what's so weird, is I'll do this not to make anybody uncomfortable. She reaches down just like you would in church and puts her hand on his forehead like this. And he had both hands up like this, and she goes like this. And if you watch the video, he starts doing this stuff and trumples down as though she had some kind of power, as though she had some kind of innate power to make him fall out. And I'll tell you what that is, folks. That's worshiping the creation rather than worshiping the Creator. And that's exactly what was going on in this temple, because Ezekiel went inside the temple and there's all of this creation written on the walls, and they're worshiping the creation more than they're worshiping the Creator. And let us always remember that the Lord Jesus Christ is number one, and we don't worship anything but Him. You understand me? We do not worship. We don't have, you know what? I have no more heroes in my life. I have had heroes in my life, and I end up getting let down. I end up getting disappointed. And you know what? Let me be your hero, but don't let me, let me be your pastor, but please don't let me be your hero. You hear me? I try my best to live a good Christian life, and I'm going to continue trying to live a good Christian life, and I'm going to continue trying to walk this narrow way. But listen, I am no hero. There's only one who is, and He deserves our praise and our glory. And God said, my glory will I not give to another. Verse number 11 goes down. Verse number 11 says this. This is the next verse, and it says, so you got all these carvings on the walls, And then you've got even idols that have been carved. And it says, and before them, before all these idols, stood 70 men of the elders of the house of Israel. I'm going to stop right there. 70 men of the house of Israel, 70 elders of the house of Israel. You say, well, what's the big deal about that? What's the big deal about that number? Anybody want to hazard a guess? What's the 70? What's the big deal about 70? Anybody remember when when Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, he had this big multitude, and was Moses able to handle them all? It's too much for him. So here's what happened. Numbers chapter 11, verse 16 and 17. Then the Lord said to Moses, gather for me, how many? Gather for me 70 men of the elders of Israel. And then, if you will go down to verse, well, I'll just read the whole thing. Gather me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them to the tent of the meeting, and let them take their stand there with you, and I will come down and talk with you there, and I will take some of the spirit that is on you and put it on them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, so that you may not bear it all alone. So when we say 70 elders, wouldn't we all agree that that was representative of the leadership? The leadership, the people that were supposed to be leading, the men that were supposed to be leading the nation, the ones that were trying to keep them steered in the right direction. And so what God is showing Ezekiel here, if you can go back to verse 11 of chapter 8, Bill, is he says that he took me in there. And there's that room with all those carved images on the walls, and they've got carved idols around there, and in front of them is the 70 elders, the very leadership, the very ones that are supposed to keep them on the straight and narrow are themselves corrupt. You know what? That's why we can only trust really, truly in the Scripture. The Scripture has to be the final authority, folks, because ultimately leadership, and I magnify mine office, I'm a leader. But let me tell you something, folks. I've seen leadership fail. I've seen leadership disappoint. I've seen leadership go into apostasy. I've seen leadership fall into adultery. I've seen leadership steal money and it get covered up. You know what? I'm respectful to leadership. I'm submissive. But let me tell you something. The Scripture will always have the final authority in Tim Wiggins' life. And I beg you, let the Scripture honor leadership, respect leadership, but always let the Scripture have that final authority in you, and not a man. And I'm telling you that as your pastor. A lot of pastors would like to say, listen, God talks to me and you better listen to me. Well, I'm saying, you know what? You need to listen to me, but you need to let the Scripture be the final authority. Okay? Now, let's go on here, and I get so frustrated. Why can't I make further, more headroom? I can't get going. I get bogged down. But there's stuff here I want you guys to see. It says that there were 70 men of the elders of the house of Israel and Jazaniah, the son of Shaphan, standing among them. Well, is there anybody here that will honestly say, Brother Wiggins, I don't know who Jazaniah is, and I don't know who Shaphan is? That's pretty much everybody in the house. Does anybody remember the story of when Josiah became king? And remember, Josiah, other than David, there was no other king that was as fervent for the Lord and walked as strongly with the Lord as Josiah. Second only to David was Josiah. Josiah had a passion for the things of God. And do you remember there was a day He had just became king, and Israel had idolatry all throughout the land, and he wanted to clean it up. And he said, he told them, here's some money. Go clean up the house of the Lord. If you read the story, the door was boarded up to the house of the Lord, and it was bad. It was like, it was a vacant building. And he says, go in there and clean that up, and let's try to respect the Lord. And I'm going to need you to go back to verse 11 in a minute here, but if you can, Bill, for the moment, let's go down to 2 Kings chapter 22, verses 8, 9, 10, and 11. And we're just going to really read verse 8 and then verse 11. In verse 8, it says, Hilkiah, the high priest, said to who? The secretary. Remember, Shaphan was the name mentioned, Jazaniah, the son of Shaphan. Well, this is Shaphan. Shaphan, the secretary, the high priest said, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And when Shaphan read that book, the law of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, he takes that scroll and walks into the palace and says, David, I think you need to hear, not David, excuse me, Josiah, I think you need to hear this. And you look at verse, if you can, Bill, if you can go to the book, verse 10, go to verse 10 there. Oh, you've already got it. There we go. Then Shaphan, the secretary, told the king, Hilkiah, the priest, has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And the king heard the words of the book of the law, and he tore his clothes. So Shaphan was the man that took the word of the Lord to Josiah and said, you need to hear the word of the Lord. We've got some problems in Israel. And it was Shaphan reading the word of the Lord to Josiah that started the huge revival in Israel. It was Shaphan that did that. Let me give you another example of Shaphan. There was a time that there were some men that wanted to kill the prophet Jeremiah. And if you go to Jeremiah chapter 26 and verse 24, there was a guy by the name of Ahiakim, son of Shaphan. It says, but the hand of Ahiakim, the son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah so that he was not given over to the people to be put to death. Shaphan is the guy that read the law to Josiah. One of his sons saved the prophet Jeremiah's life. Are you following me? Could you see how noteworthy it would be to Ezekiel? If you can go back to verse 11 there in chapter 8 now, Bill. Could you imagine how mind-blowing it would be to Ezekiel in this vision to see those 70 elders that are supposed to be leadership, that are supposed to be leading the nation and keeping them on the straight and narrow, and they're worshiping idols themselves. And standing with them is Jazaniah, the son of Shaphan. And that's when Ezekiel just said, oh man, it's worse than I thought it was. It's worse than I thought it was. And that, could you imagine how Ezekiel would have felt? I'm not going to get past verse 11. Let me say one more thing about verse 11, and we're going to have to bring this in for a landing. I mean, is this all right, folks? I hope this is putting stuff in your hearts and in your minds and opening the Word of God up to you to where you're reading it and saying, oh, I get it. I understand it now. Rather than just reading it and loving it but not having a clue what it means. The last thing I'll say about this verse is the last part of the verse on verse 11. The last part of the verse says, each had a censer in his hand. And the smoke of the cloud of incense went up. Okay? And you can all stand. It says, the smoke of the cloud of incense went up. And I'm going to tell you what I've read about this. that where these men would have been and the kind of ceremony that they would have been doing with this incense would have been the ceremony. Are you ready? Day of Atonement. What was important? What was so important about the Day of Atonement? Kristen? Oh, I thought you said something.
No, I quit my job.
Would be accomplished every year on the Day of Atonement?
The cleansing
of the people, sins being rolled ahead. That was the only day of the whole year that what got to happen? Bingo. It was the only day of the year that somebody got to go into the holiest of holies. Remember, there was that ark in there with the law in it and Aaron's rod that butted, and then it was covered by this lid that was called the mercy seat. Remember that? And if you read the law, I can't remember if it's in Leviticus or Deuteronomy. I purposely didn't put it in my notes because I knew I would bog down. But I bogged down anyway. But if you read it out of the law, God says, told Moses, have this incense be going up. And let it go up. And so what that would do is that smoke would go up above the curtain and fill that holiest of holies with smoke. So that when the priest would walk in, he would not be able to see the ark and the mercy seat. Because God told Moses, I'm going to appear over that mercy seat. And if he sees me, go read it for yourself. It's in Deuteronomy, I believe. He says, if that priest sees me, he's going to die. Because, you know, you can't see God and live to tell the story. And so that was a very, very sacred thing that they used that incense for the Day of Atonement, when that priest would go into the Holy Holies. So now these men are offering that same incense. What are they saying? What's the statement? They're saying, this is the Holy of Holies. These idols, these engraved images on the walls, all of this, this is the Holy of Holies. Now do you understand how God told Ezekiel, they're driving me from this temple. They're driving me away. I don't want to go. I don't want to leave my people. I brought them out of Egypt. I opened the Red Sea. I rained down manna in the wilderness. Water came out of a rock so that they could drink water. For 40 years they roamed in the wilderness, Ezekiel, and their shoes never even wore out. Ezekiel, I was the cloud by day. Ezekiel, I was the pillar of fire by night that led them safely through that wilderness. Ezekiel, I don't want to leave my people, but they're driving me out. They're pushing me out. And I'm going to have to leave. Oh God. You know what? I want to tell you. The presence of the Lord is here. And I believe the presence of the Lord is in our homes too. My prayer is, oh God, let us never do anything that would drive you away from us. Oh Lord, let us be in your presence. Let us walk by your Spirit. Just like that chorus that we sing in church. I'm blessed. And when I wake up in the morning, until I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. Why? Because God is in our midst. God is with us. God is living in us. Oh God, I don't ever want to drive you away. I want to be near. Let's worship him. Let's worship Him. Oh God, I'm so thankful to You, Lord. God, I bless Your name, Jesus. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Let's all gather around the front for a few moments. Could you have imagined? Have you ever, in any time in your life, been watching something? And I know we talk about television and movies and stuff, but everybody here sometime in their life. Have you ever talked back to the screen and just said, "Don't go in there, you stupid. You're going to get killed." Exactly. Well, Ezekiel watching this vision, when he looked there and saw Jazaniah, the son of Shaphan, don't you know that he talked back to that vision and just says, "Your daddy's the one that read the word of God to the king. Your brother's the one that saved Jeremiah's life. And here you are worshiping idols. Oh, my word. And the other thing I want to say is, and we're going to let you go, and this is just a personal request. And before I ask it, let me just couch it this way. The Mona Lisa. Am I correct in saying that the Mona Lisa was painted by Leonardo da Vinci? And am I correct in saying that it hangs in the Louvre in France? In that same museum, the Louvre, over here you've got the Mona Lisa. And right over here you've got another famous painting. I can't remember who the artist was. It's called Blue Boy. It's the guy all dressed in blue. And you've got other paintings, some by Michelangelo. Michelangelo was a sculptor. He also was a painter. And wouldn't it be disappointing to go to the Louvre in France and get a 10-minute tour of it? To say, okay, we're going to go here. We're going to get to see all work, but let's cover it in 10 minutes. And, well, okay, 15 minutes. Aren't you going to feel disappointed? I'm going to tell you right now, Ezekiel chapter 8, Ezekiel chapter 9, Ezekiel chapter 10 is some of the most intricate art. And I don't want to bog us down to where you say, Brother Wiggins, I just feel like we're never going to get through this stuff. But if you will let me, please, there's some stuff here that we just need to take our time. And we only made a few verses today. But we need to take our time and we need to go through this stuff. Because if we just do, it's the equivalent of going into the Louvre and just say, okay, we've got 15 minutes. Let's just see it all. You can't do it. You can't do it. So if you will allow me, we're going to, I was wanting to get through Ezekiel's second vision in just a couple of weeks, but just give me, let's dig in here. Feel free to read chapter 9, chapter 10, and just kind of have this in your head, a familiarity, and we'll go through it. But let's worship the Lord. God, we're so thankful to you. God, we want to bless your name, Jesus. Lord, your word is life to us, Lord. Your word gives us understanding. Your word gives us faith, Lord. Oh, Jesus, we praise you and thank you, God, for your word, Lord. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen.